Hey, you're listening to World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger. Today on the show, it's Josh Ritter. Lost man singing for his soul. I saw it on Rio Bravo. Josh's 10th album, Fever Breaks, isn't out until next week, but today you'll hear him perform a bunch of the new songs, including the eerie opening track called Ground Don't Want Me.
I've never started a record with a curse before.
Josh is performing stripped-down versions of his songs today, which is as close as it gets to how these tunes actually started before he got into studio to work with Jason Isbell, who produced the record, and Jason's band, The 400 Unit. Although Josh and Jason are friends, working together was new.
Suddenly I felt like I had my swimsuit on, but I didn't want to jump in the pool, you know? And I was afraid, you know? And then I realized, well, that being afraid in this moment with my songs and nervous about where they should go and how they should do it is the right thing. This is what I got into this for.
So the session you are going to hear was taped in front of a live audience. We also streamed it on Facebook Live. Josh Ritter was joined by amazing guitarist Josh Kaufman. And I was blown away that this is Josh Ritter's 10th album. 10th album?
Yeah.
That's huge.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
That's really something. So that the record comes out at the end of the month. It is spectacular. It was produced by Jason Isbell. The album versions of songs feature his band, The 400 Unit. And Josh has agreed to come here and play songs for us that have not even been released yet. We're going to listen to a bunch of album versions too. And we're so lucky to have him do this for us before the record's
so
out. Yeah, thanks for being here. How are you feeling about the album coming out?
Oh, it's awesome. Every time a record comes out, I'm impressed with the miracle that it's still possible to do it, you know, that people are listening to the music and coming to shows and allowing me to keep on doing this. It's amazing, you know.
Yeah.
I've lost sight of all of the things. It's just great.
Do you have a ritual on album release day?
Usually I get up really early and I'm doing something when the album comes out. But I have since my daughter Bea was born, we usually spend a fair amount of time organizing the records when they come to the house. You know, they come in a big box, and she likes to get them out and sort them and stack them and hide them around the house. And it's great to have her involved.
She's actually here doing merch today.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Don't even try to give her the wrong change.
She's
really good at math.
You can't fool a five-year-old.
So last time you were here and we were talking about your last record, about Gathering, there were four moods that you talked about that sort of dominated that record. And it was uncertainty, mania, laughter, and sadness.
Yeah.
Any moods that have come up for you again and again on Fever Breaks?
With Fever Breaks, what I set out to do was try and make a record that was a reflection of the moment. And in that way, I kind of steered away from any specific themes when I started, and I allowed the songs that grabbed me to kind of unfold in the world that we're living in right now. Like, there were lines from songs, there was places on the record where I thought, well, would this song really fit on the record? And then I realized, well, the time that we're living in now has created this song. And for this record to really be a reflection of the moment that we're in, I have to put it on there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's violence and there's enduring love and there's paranoia and there's all kinds of different moods on the record. But I consciously stayed away from trying to write in a specific theme when I started.
Yeah. Let's be really exciting and play a song that people have never heard before.
Great.
The first song from the record.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This one's called Ground Don't Want Me.
Yeah.
And this is a really eerie song.
Thank you.
Any way you want to set it, you're welcome. Anything you want to tell us about it before we hear you play it?
I wanted to start the record off like this because it just called to me, this song. It was the first song that I played for Jason and Amanda when I went down to their house to play them demos. It was the first song that we recorded. It just felt like the first song for the record. And I've never started a record with a curse before, so... So I'll give it a shot.
Let's hear it, yeah.
All right.
I buried Mama standing with the knife still in her chest, as per last instructions at her death. Said you'll never get to heaven, son, so go to hell real slow. Now the ground don't want me, mama. The ground don't want me, no, no, no. I've stacked the deck, I've held the dead man's hand so many times. It's an ace's wishing for the death I hope was mine. But cards and guns are all the same, each man must draw his own. Now the ground don't want me, mama. The ground don't want me, no, no, no. What is the body when the soul is flown? Has it only been forgotten? I want to lay down in a field of bone, but an angel guards the garden. I killed men in blue, I barbacoa, new life in crystal wells. In every town the brokenhearted rang their steeple bells. For every man a box, and for every hole a rose. Now the ground don't want me, mama. The ground don't want me, no, no, no. What is the body when the soul is flown? Has it only been forgotten? I wanna lay down in a field of bone, but an angel guards the garden. Near our ken, I chanced to watch some violets rise. Their lunar blues undoing down the fast and stays the night. And I thought how sweet to sleep beneath the flowers such as those. Now the ground don't want me, mama. The ground don't want me, no, no, no. What is the body when the soul is flown? Has it only been forgotten? I wanna lay down in a field of bone, but an angel guards the garden. Sometimes I think about mama with that knife still in her chest. Sometimes I think about all those lucky men I sent to rest. And how it's them who are asleepin', and it's me who is the ghost. Now the ground don't want me, mama. The ground don't want me, no, no, no. What is the body when the soul is flown? Has it only been forgotten? I wanna lay down in a field of bone, but an angel guards the garden.
Thank you. Awesome. Thank you very much.
Look at that big smile after singing this song about a curse and the ground don't want me. Oh, what's one of the things I love about you is that you can summon this deep darkness, and you're such a bright and shiny human.
It helps me to get it out, you know what I mean?
I guess so. Jeez, that is Josh Ritter performing brand new music from his upcoming album, that's Ground Don't Want Me. That song opens the record, Fever Breaks, and we've got Josh Kaufman also on guitar here doing such a beautiful job. So you said that was the first song that you really worked up with Jason Isbell and Amanda Shires and played it for them on their porch. So let's talk a little bit about how they ended up getting involved in this record, because I want people to hear what that song that we've just heard you do acoustically sounds like.
Sure.
On the album.
Yeah.
So walk us through the process. How did Jason get involved?
Well, I had for a good long time, 18, 19 years, I had been making music with generally the same people, like a small group of people who Josh included, who like I love, and I they're my family. And I realized that of all the places I'd gone in recording, all the places I'd gone to, all the things that we'd done together. I had never really recorded with anybody brand new, and I hadn't been in a room with new musicians ever, really. You know, it was something I began to get a sense that I needed to, I wanted to really work with brand new people and see what that was like, just to give that a shot and to push myself and to be nervous and to not know what was going to happen. And those things are so important when you're making music and making art, to not know what's going to happen next, so you have something to look forward to, you know. And I started thinking about it, and then at that time I went on the road with Jason and the 400 Unit and played a bunch of shows with them, got to see how they live their life as a family and how they make their decisions, and I felt a real kinship. And so when the idea of making a record with, you know, some new people, Jason jumped into my mind, and I shot him a note, and he was like, I was thrilled that he was excited about doing it.
What did you say? Like, will you go out with me? Like, was it a
kind of?
Like,
yeah. Yeah, it was very like, yeah, you know, I don't know what you're doing, but you know, and you know, maybe sometime we could get together, and he wrote me back and was and said, well, we'll do it. We should do it in Nashville. We'll do it with 400 Unit. We'll do it at RCA Studio A.
Legendary studio.
Yeah, where they recorded like Jolene and all these, like, you know, Holy Ground, and everything about it sounded terrifying. Yeah. You know,
oh.
Like, because I was not sure that I had these songs, and I didn't know that I wanted to, like, you know, suddenly I felt like I had my swimsuit on, but I didn't want to jump in the pool, you know, and I was afraid, you know, and then I realized, well, that being afraid in this moment with my songs and nervous about where they should go and how they should do it is the right thing. This is what I got into this for. It's something that, like, it's important to feel nervous, and so I called up the Royal City Band. I called up and I said, like, listen, I want to try to do something new and different in this way. Will you, like, support me? And they were all so wonderful about it, and I was able to go into making the session with a light heart.
Mm. Yeah, that had to be just a conversation to have with people that you've been working with for a really long time, and
say,
I'm going to go on a date with Jason. Don't worry. It's not like that's serious yet. We're just going to figure it out.
We're just testing
things
out.
We're just going to try it out. So let's go to the moment then where you, like, have the bathing suit on and you actually jump into the water, then, using the song that you've just played us, Ground Don't Want Me, as an example, because we can play that, the album version of it. So tell me a little bit about what happens when you get to RCA Studio A and you have the bones of this song as you've just played it for us, and then it turns into what we're about to hear.
Well, I showed up really early to the recording session. I got there way earlier than anybody else. The door wasn't even open, and I called the studio manager. I said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I'm really early. I'm kind of new at this, you know."
And you're 20 years into your career.
And she said, "No worries, I'll buzz you in." And I went in and I opened the door. The alarms went off. The cops got called. Everything shut down. I was in this room all alone in the RCA studio. This, like, fantastic place, just waiting for the cops to come and pick me up. But from there on, like, you know, people showed up and they said, like, don't worry, just play the song as you would play it, and we'll fall in. And that's how it was. I was excited. I love the moment of playing a new song, you know. I love the moment where you, like, whip the sheet off the statue and you get to show what you've been working on. And doing that for a whole bunch of new people was really exciting. And hearing that, when from that moment, as soon as the drums kicked in and the band, which is just a hot rod, amazing band, like, came in, it was clear that it was the right decision.
Yeah. Shall we hear some of it?
Sure.
Here we go.
Ground don't want me, mama. Ground don't want me, no, no, no. What is the body when the soul is gone? Has it only been forgotten? I wanna lay down in a field of bone, but an angel guards the garden. Mm-hmm.
I love Jason's solo there. It's a badass solo.
Is that Jason playing that guitar solo? Yeah. We also heard Amanda singing backups on that song with you, and she's done some amazing playing on the record on fiddle and singing. And she had said that she had been a fan of your music for a really long time before you guys worked in studio together, and I think she even copped to like singing along to your records lot, so that by the time you got into studio together, like she had been doing duets with you, just you weren't there.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the kind of musical chemistry that created.
Well, it was so incredible to have someone in that group of people who knew my music really, really well, and who kind of knew some of the artistic decisions I was going to make before I made them, you know, and who knew where I was going to go with the dynamic of the song or you know, where the chord change was going to go. And you know, especially when we were first getting started and sitting out on their porch, that was a really, I thought, how fortuitous that this should happen like this, that like I'm so lucky that they know my music a little bit before we step into this big project.
I'm picturing like a Nashville porch at night and there's like fireflies. Is it as beautiful on the porch as I think that it is?
Big swing and off towards the trees. So, you know, you see some of the neighbors' horses, and it was really nice.
I want to play another song from the record, the album version, and I was thinking of going to Losing Battles next. Is that
sure.
okay with
yeah,
you?
Totally.
Yeah, anything we should listen out for? You're going to play it live for us, but I thought maybe we could go the other way and hear it with the full band
sure.
and then strip it down. So anything you want to tell us to listen out for before we listen to at least a little bit of this song from the record?
I just like to hear it. It sounds great.
Let's listen to it. Here we go.
Man singing for his soul. I saw it on Rio Bravo. He held the notes like rock and roll. He told his tale of Colorado. I gave up my only twin. I turned my face to the world of shadows. Sometimes the righteous win. Most times it's a losing battle.
There's some real Tom Petty going on there. Oh. I hear Tom Petty in that a little bit.
You.
I mean, that is a compliment, but it's just, it has that just like anthemic, like warmth. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Yeah. I love songs that have a travel to them, that there's a kind of a wandery story. Like I always love the Tennessee Stud, you know, a song like that where there's a character kind of moving through landscape and you know, coming up against adventures, and I always like that type of song.
Yeah. Well, you may or may not have caught on already. We didn't just listen to the whole song. Will you play us the whole
sure.
song now? Take us on the whole journey?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Here we go.
Lost man singing for his soul. I saw it on Rio Bravo. He held the notes like rock and roll. He told his tale to Colorado. I gave up my only twin. I turned my face to the world of shadows. Sometimes the righteous win. Most times it's a losing battle. Swam naked in the mythic lake. Spent the night on the face of the earth. From the apple tree I ripped a snake. It was poison but I knew of its worth. I kept it in a box of wood. I fed it on my sins and apples. Tried to do the things I should. Sometimes it's a losing battle. It's always been in my nature to be the beast. Blame the maker, but stay with me. Drifted down to Tennessee, lost my heart to a girl of silver. She was trying to be free, there was nothing to forgive her. By the time the fever broke and I had enough of trouble, that's when trouble spoke. Sometimes it's a losing battle. It's always been in my nature to be the beast. Blame the maker, but stay with me. I fell into a den of thieves, got lost in the caves of virtue. Born again and lost belief, without a friend till the day I met you. Now I'm trying to mend my ways, I've had enough of pain and bad will. Good enough for you someday, till then it's a losing battle.
Thank you.
Awesome. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
That's really beautiful. That's another brand new one from the upcoming record from Fever Breaks. That was Losing Battle. Battles. Multiple battles. Josh Ritter is here at World Cafe performing for us, and Josh Kaufman is here as well playing with him. And we're glad to have them both. We heard a reference, I guess, to the title of the record in that song.
Yeah.
You sing about when the fever broke.
Yeah.
When I had enough of trouble. So tell me about the moment that you're pinpointing there, and then I guess pulling out to name this collection of songs.
Yeah. I love coming up with titles for records. It's one of my favorite things. Mm-hmm. I love that you get the songs together, and then there's a spooky alchemy that happens where they all distill down into a single phrase, and you just have to keep your eye out for that phrase. Something, it may be in the record, it may not be. But there's always something that pulls the whole thing together in your mind, and so for me, titles are super important. But I woke up with Fever Breaks as a phrase in my head, and it was on the tip of my tongue when I woke up. And like so much of the record, I realized that instinct was going to be the most important part, and that if it felt like Fever Breaks was the name of the record, then for this one it had to be. I like that it feels unsettled. But it also feels like a reminder that things will get better.
Huh.
You know?
Yeah, it speaks to tension and to relief also.
Yeah.
You seem to me to be somebody who's so in tune with their intuition. You recently described songwriting as trying to catch images as they're flying by.
Yeah.
And it sounds to me sort of like waking up with a title as well, sort of sounds like that. Like you have figured out, I guess, in your own life how to walk through and catch the things that need catching.
Those things that seem like... The kind of weird, still small voice that you get that tells you that something's important, that you have to pay attention to it. And it's really easy to ignore. And it's also really easy to second guess. But on occasion, you get lucky and you forget to do that, you know? And,
yeah.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another song on the record that's sort of a conversation with Joan Baez.
Yeah.
Of sorts. The legendary, amazing Joan Baez. And the song is Silver Blade.
Yeah.
You wrote this song and Joan recorded it for an album that she put out last year.
Yeah.
And then you've gone and done your own version of it for this new album. So let's talk a little bit about first writing the song and getting it into the voice, I guess, of, I was going to say hands, but getting into the voice of Joan Baez.
Well, it was I toured with Joan a long time ago when I was first getting started. She took me all over the country. She took me all over Europe. She treated me like just like I had never been treated.
This is when you were truly getting started.
Yeah.
And she's like a legend and an originator of the genre that she sings in. So that had to mean so much.
It was huge.
Yeah.
You know, she I remember the first time when she called me on my phone when I was home, and I was back in Idaho, and I didn't believe it was her. You know, she got my number from my manager, and like I couldn't believe it was Joan Baez on the phone. And I was looking around for my parents to prove that it's all happening, you know. But I really learned so much about being on the road and so much about performing and what goes into a show, and she just taught me so much. And so a few years ago, I got a note from her out of the blue, and she says, "I'm working on my final record. I want it to be a bookend to my first record." So I thought, it got me thinking about her song "Silver Dagger," which is an amazing masterpiece of a song, and always a spooky number that I had always thought about. And I thought, well, I kind of want to write a bookend piece to that. You know, I want to write "Silver Dagger" is about a woman who's singing a song saying, "Don't sing me love songs. You know, I've heard them all before. I'll wake my mother. She's got a silver dagger. You know, it's like bad things will happen."
Wait, we should play some of it. Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah, let's do it. And she's like, "I can't marry you. My mom basically said not. Like,
yeah.
I got a bad dad." Let's have a listen to.
Great.
So we can do this
whole
thing. Yeah. So this is Joan Baez, "Silver Dagger."
"Don't sing love songs, you'll wake my mother. She's sleeping here, right by my side, and in her right hand, a silver dagger. Says that I can't be your bride."
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Joan Baez.
It's amazing.
Right?
It's like glass or something like
it
that.
It is.
Yeah.
Deep down. Yeah. So say a little bit about writing a bookend to glass.
Well, I like this. I like that you know, she's got this silver dagger in her hand, and I wanted to know how she got it. You know, because the mother is a super interesting figure in this story. She never says anything, but she's there sleeping, and she's got this dagger, and she's protecting her daughter. So I said, "I think I got an idea." And she wrote me back and just said, "Any ideas you have, just like open the taps and, you know, send it all." And it got, you know, any when Joan Baez gives you the excuse to go crazy, you know, and to write. It was an amazing experience.
Wow. So you wrote the song and she recorded it, and I'd love to hear you play it now.
Sure.
So we can hear what the backstory, I guess, how this story ends. Yeah.
Go for it. "I have myself a silver blade, the edge is sharp, the handle bone. A little thing, a silver maid, now it's the only thing I own. Once I knew a lordling fine, I heard him whistle as he rode. I was bold to call him mine, the shoes upon his horse were gold. One look in my eyes and he bid me climb onto his horse, and asked if I'd his lady be and go away forevermore. He spoke of love songs in each kiss, and I, who was a young girl then, was promised every young girl's bliss, got up and rode away with him. Thank you.
led me to his castle tall, with promises and jewels until he led me through his castle hall, then took my clothes and worked his will. And when he had and I lay there, from my head with a silver blade, he cut a lock of my crow black hair, then bid me dress and go my way. I marked well the silver blade and where he set it when he did. When his back was turned, I laid it buried deep beneath his ribs. I used my dagger as a spade where the thorns and lilacs grow. I cut the ground into a grave in a place even God don't know. And every evening I return to the place for him I chose. And tennis skin had turned to worms, wild dogs scattered his bones. And all I have of what I was is the memory of a maid who mistook a thief for love, but who gained a silver blade. Silver blade.
Thank you. Josh Kaufman right there.
Josh Ritter, live here at World Cafe with Silver Blade. I just want to put the period on the end of the sentence here and say, so Joan Baez takes a chance on a young songwriter that she believes in, takes him out on tour when he's young, and then at the end of her career says, I'm going to make my last album. Will you write something? And then you go and write that incredible story as an answer to a song on her first record. Like, that's what happened. That's kind of amazing.
It's so fun when somebody gives you the permission to try something out. It was a joy, because I've been listening to her since I first picked up the guitar, and before that even, you know, we had Joan Baez songbooks in my house, and it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, well, that's a really stunning song.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna hear you play another one called "All Some Kind of Dream" that addresses family, I think, in a particular way. And before we hear you play it, I want to talk a little bit about your own family, because it's grown since the last time that we've seen you. So you were talking a little bit earlier about your young daughter who likes to sort and stack records, and who is also maybe your accountant, maybe
not.
And you've adopted a daughter too.
Yes, we did.
About a year ago. So tell me a little bit about that and about where you adopted her from, because I know it's close to your heart.
Sure, yeah. Well, Haley and I talked about adoption on our first date. It was an intense date.
It was you talked about adoption on your first date?
We did, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Who brought it up?
She did.
Wow.
And I was in love, and I said, of course. Like, and time went by, and we had Beatrix, and then we found ourselves thinking about having a second, and adoption just seemed like the most natural thing. You know, we were lucky enough to work with an amazing adoption agency called Wide Horizons for Children, and who do all kinds of domestic and international adoption, and are a really great organization. And we adopted Moxie from down in Texas, and she's a Texan through and through, and she's an amazing kid. Yeah, she's just learning to walk right now.
How does one prove that they're a Texan at 1 year old?
She's got the like the good Texas obstinacy.
Okay. Pure obstinacy. Was the experience different of raising a baby that you adopted?
That's a really good question. It has been in no way different. It's been, you know, we never think about it. It's funny because it's such a major part of her story and her life and her stuff. But when she's waking up from a nap or when you're out doing your stuff, you know, she's you never think about the adoption. It's so interesting. I never would have thought that, but we feel so lucky. You know, it's been an incredible experience, and she's just a great kid, and you know, it's been so good for my you know, having kids is so good for your work. It doesn't take away from it. It provides you a fence post to land on when you're flying between songs and things in your life. You know, there's a stable place to land, and they're great. Yeah. I love them. They've been so good for me. Mm.
So on the song that you're going to play next, on All Some Kind of Dream, you sing about taking people in, and you sing about family. There's a line, was there an hour when we took them in, or was it all some kind of dream? And I was wondering, I guess, what your source material was for that. Is it things that are flying around in the news around refugees and migration? Is it in your own family? Is it a combination?
It's. I think All Some Kind of Dream is... It's a little bit about getting older and having a family. I think it informs the song. I really wanted to write a song. I was so angry, and I'm so angry, and I needed to like write a song that kind of exercised that anger and got it out of me and got it onto the page. I haven't always written overtly politically, you know, but I felt like if I'm not writing something very plain, unless I'm saying something straight up, I don't know what I'm doing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, there are things happening in the world that you can't cloak in the language of romance and like high adventure, but you have to just talk about them and put them out there as plainly as possible, you know, to feel like you're actually doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Good. Well, will you play us the song?
Sure.
Yeah.
I saw my brother in a stranger's face. I saw my sister in a smile. My mother's laughter in a far-off place. My father's footsteps in each mile. I thought I knew who my neighbor was. We didn't need to be redeemed. Oh, what could I have been thinking of? Was it all some kind of dream? I saw my country in the hungry eyes of a million refugees. Between the rocks and the rising tide, as they were tossed across the sea, there was a time when we were them, just as now they all are we. Was there an hour when we took them in? Was it all some kind of dream? I saw the children in the holding pens. I saw the families ripped apart. Though I try, I cannot begin to know what it did inside their hearts. There was a time when we held them close, weren't so cruel, low, and mean. And we did good unto the least of those. Or was it all some kind of dream? I saw justice with a tattered hem. I saw compassion on the run. But I saw dignity in spite of them. I prayed its day would finally come. There was a time when we chose our sides and we refused to live between. And we rose to fight for what we knew was right. Or was it all some kind of dream? Last night I lay in my true love's bed, and she lay there close beside. And we lay thinking about what lay ahead, and wondering if the sun would rise. For it seems that these are darker days than any others that we've seen. Oh, how we wish that we weren't wide awake, and this was all some kind of dream.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for writing that song.
Thank you.
Right? Thanks for that. Thank you. It's really, really an incredible song. So you have one more to play for us, and it's the last song on the album, but I think we're going to make people wait for it, and we're going to take some questions from Facebook if you're still out there. Is that okay with you? Yeah? I think we have some questions that have come through online that I might want to get to. Okay. Ooh, this is exciting. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, cool. This is fun. This is a location question.
Awesome.
Mike on Facebook, hey, Mike, saw you perform at a cave in Pelham, Tennessee. Am I saying that right? Pelham?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. What were your thoughts on playing a cave versus Red Rocks, which is the mountains, or the Ryman, which is Mount Rushmore?
Yeah. Well, I feel so lucky right now. We've gotten to play all these amazing venues. They are stellar, and to play, it's really exciting, but like I think that really what you're trying to do with playing shows is you're trying to carry a little flame from one show to the next, and that flame is always the same. And like, so no matter where you go, you're trying to build the fire from the flame that you had the night before, going all the way back to when you first picked up the guitar. And so while it is thrilling to play in these amazing places and exciting and all that, it's always you come back to the show, you want to keep the same thing that you had always, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. It does. Well, on a related note, Patrick from Twitter wants to know if you will carry that flame to a spontaneous house concert at his house. He lives in the Philadelphia area.
Absolutely. I'll see you there.
True. Okay, Patrick, there you go. He'll be there. Just tweet out your address, I guess. Okay. How about this? Oh, I hope I'm saying your name correctly. Young Chang on Facebook wants to know, how do you keep your cool in live shows if things don't go perfectly?
That's a great question. I don't. I think that being on stage for me is like a metaphor for the rest of life, you know? Like when I go see somebody do anything where they're taking a chance, like, and they're pinning success to like a chance and something that may fail, it's exciting. It's like and in life that's what makes the wheels go round. And so I feel that being on stage, when you're going and everything's going great and then something happens, you know, you just pick yourself up and keep going. You know, I've always felt that maybe my biggest motto for myself in life is get embarrassed and move on, you know, and that happens. And then you just go on. And if you're fine with being human and falling apart on stage sometimes, then really you get so much more out of it. You know, you get to be, you get to enjoy a fuller range of emotions on stage, and you get to have more fun, I think.
Let's all do an Oprah Super Soul Sunday moment and say, get embarrassed and move on. It's going to be really fun to say. Ready? Facebook, if you're watching, you have to do it at home too. 1, 2, 3. Get embarrassed and move on.
It's very freeing.
The zen of Josh Ritter. That's really good. Oliver on Twitter wants to know, what's one song you love to play every night and one song you would love to never play again?
I couldn't tell that song. I couldn't hurt its feelings. But there are songs that I love to play every night because they remind you of where you were at a certain moment. I always love playing Adam, The Temptation of Adam, because I remember writing it in my basement when it was really cold out, and the basement was the warmest place there was, and I spent so much time down in that basement writing songs, and it always takes me back there.
Yeah, Emily. Who's part of our family here at XBN wants to know, what would be your alternative career?
Oh, wow.
Like, don't quit this job. We love you here. Definitely keep this one.
I would,
you're exactly where you're meant to be.
I think it'd be cool to be a nurse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
I think that'd be really awesome.
What appeals to you about that?
They're strong, capable, wonderful, giving, generous people who have seen it all and keep coming back. And I think all our lives are richer for having nurses around.
Yeah, amen to that. Yeah. You're sort of a feelings nurse. Yeah. So will you play us the last song from the record?
Thank you.
Jason Thunder, chasing lightning too. You never wondered what they thought of you. You know you can't outrun the great unknown. May you find yourself a blazing highway home. Somewhere the high cliffs, somewhere the waves hit white. The wind and its mischief, the palace of rainbows I. We'll be here watching, though you may feel alone. While you find yourself a blazing highway home. I try to sleep, searching the darkness for something. Your soul to keep. Here I am sleeping with nothing. Just tell St. Peter you don't want to wait. Throw it in gear and roll on through those gates. I know no matter where your soul may roam, that you'll find yourself a blazing highway home. I try to sleep, searching the darkness for something. Your soul to keep. Here I am sleeping with nothing. angel, sing your country songs. Your mama sang you back when days were long. More beautiful than anything you've known. While you find yourself a blazing highway home, I try to sleep, searching the darkness for something, your soul to keep. Here I am sleeping with nothing.
Thank you. Josh Kaufman right there.
That is Blazing Highway Home, the last song on Josh Ritter's new album, Fever Breaks. Thank you so much to Josh Ritter and Josh Kaufman, not only for making it easy for me by both having the same first name, but for playing so beautifully on the show. Hey, while you're on the internet right now, yes, you can hear the entire album, studio versions of the songs. You've just heard the acoustic version. You can hear the whole thing at nprmusic.org. Probably a couple of real easy clicks or types from where you are. Thanks to our senior producer, Kimberly Junod, for all of her work on that session. Thanks to Josh Ritter's whole team, too, for making it happen. Wow, really awesome work, you guys. Thanks, Darius. And thanks, Dan Reed, for booking our talent. Ellen Oplinger for handling all the logistics, and our amazing team at World Cafe for making everything happen with that Facebook live stream. If you are still listening, I am thanking you. I'm Talia Schlanger, and this is World Cafe.